Bible, please, to Romans chapter 9, Romans the 9th chapter, page 1202 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll read the first five verses responsively of chapter 9, and then we'll go to the first two verses of chapter 10. Once again, Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, we'll read them responsively, after which we'll read together Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. May we stand, please, as is our custom to do. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now let's read together the first two verses of chapter 10. Ready? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Let's pray. Bless, we pray now. Dear Lord, this service we're thankful for the fact that we've been privileged now to sing songs of Thee, to read Thy Word, and now we're prepared to hear the preaching of Thy Word. Prepare us in heart and mind and spirit. We pray that Thou wouldst bless indeed our preacher and speak to him, through him, and to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Place to where we can't sing Amazing Grace without, we can sing it without weeping. There's something wrong with us. I want to speak this morning on the subject, what difference does it make what I am? What difference does it make what I am? The apostle said, my prayer to God and heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I wish myself accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What does it matter what I am? Now, I don't have any good sermon. I have no great sermons, but as I'm going to say after a while, I know some great truths, and I want to share them with you. This morning, I'll guarantee you, if you could get this truth, you'd never have another fuss if you and the other person could get it, and probably if just you would get it. It's all the strife, all the fussing, all of your negative and all your problems. If you get this truth, what does it matter what I am? Holy Father, please have my people pay attention this morning. I have something I want to share with them, a great truth that is literally life-changing. Bless us together as we discuss it in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess in the last two or three weeks, I have had as much said along the lines of my introduction this morning as I've had in a long time. The other night, a fine young man came to see me, and I, of course, would never betray his confidence, and nobody will ever know who he was. He's a fine young man, really. But he's literally doubting his salvation so much, he's about to be sick. He's going to have a nervous breakdown. And, folks, there's no need for that. You don't have to do that. And he said, Brother Hiles, I want to know I'm saved. He said, I want to be a good soul winner. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, Brother Hiles, I want, and I'm quoting word for word, I want more than anything else in the world to be a good wife. I was talking to a preacher in a distant state, and he said, my goal is to be the greatest pastor in the world. Somebody said to me in my office with the house, I want to be a good friend. I know a lady who is obsessed with being a good wife. I mean, she reads all the books. She, I believe, more than any woman I ever met, wants to be a good wife. Strange thing about it, she never has really quite made it yet. I know a lady who probably is the most knowledgeable lady about school teaching that I've ever met. I doubt if there's been a book written by a decent author that she has not read if it's about teaching school. I never met a lady who wants to be a good school teacher as much as that lady. And yet the truth is, she's not really a very good school teacher. She studies it. She thinks about it. She works at it. Because more than anything else in the whole world, she wants to become or be a good school teacher. But she's never been what you'd call anything above average. I know a pastor friend of mine. I think he is probably the most sincere man I ever met in wanting to be a good pastor. There's not a book on pastoral theology written that he has not read. There's not a book on counseling written that he's not read. He has an insatiable desire to be a good pastor. And the truth is, he has not yet become a good pastor. I know a couple who are concerned about being ideal parents. They read books about rearing children. They study. They seek counsel. They have a tremendous desire to be good parents. The truth is, not a single child of the four they have is worth shooting. I take it back. One of them is worth shooting. But the truth is, not a single child has made those parents happy. And if the children continue to pursue their present course, they'll someday break the heart of mother and break the heart of daddy. Now, why is it that a lady who wants to be the best school teacher in the world is not even a good school teacher? And why is it a lady whose heart's desire is to be a good wife and her life is built around trying to be? Why is it that she never makes it? And why is it that a fellow who said to me, I want to be the best friend in the world, somehow has not become that? Now, why have they failed? Here's why. Because it doesn't matter what you become. If you say, I want to be a good soul winner, you missed it. Transfer that to say, I don't want to see anybody die without Christ and go to hell. Doesn't matter what you are. Important thing is that you lose yourself. Paul didn't say, my prayer to God and heart's desire is that I might be a great soul winner. Fool you on that. We'll have time in heaven to decide who the great soul winners were. You don't stop in the middle of a race and brag on how you've done thus far, or you'll lose the race. The race is run. There's somebody appointed to pass out the awards and the medals. While you're running the race, there's no time for self-examination. You look to the goal. The job is to get the finish line first. And get there. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Doesn't matter whether I'm a good runner or not. You don't stop and wave at the crowd and say, look at my form. You don't stop and wave at the crowd and say, look how I'm running. The race is on. No thought except one thing, and that's get to the finish line. And it doesn't matter who the best soul winner is. Doesn't matter. There's a world going to hell. We've got to reach them. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter whether the pastor is a good pastor. I never think about that. Doesn't bother me.
Am I a good pastor? That's not the issue. I don't care about it. Doesn't matter what I am. The important thing is that my people get fed the Bible. The important thing is that you get comfort when you're sad, and strength when you're weak, and help, and teaching, and truth, and encouragement, inspiration. That's the important thing. Doesn't matter what I am. The important thing is, what can I do for you? I want to be a good friend. That's not the issue. The issue is, I want the needs of my friends met. That's the issue. Doesn't matter whether I'm a good friend or not. Fool, you want me a good friend? I've got somebody I love, and they're hungry, and I must feed them. And they're cold, and I must clothe them. And they're sad, and I must cheer them. And they're bereaved, and I must comfort them. And they're weak, and I must strengthen them. And they're fallen, and I must lift them. That's all that matters. Fool you on whether I'm a good friend or not. That doesn't matter. We'll decide. There's one who knows all who'll decide if I'm a good friend. There's one who knows all who'll decide how good a soul winner I am. There's one who knows all who'll decide how good a pastor I am. Doesn't matter how good a wife you are. The important thing is, there's a man that needs his needs met. It doesn't matter how good a mother you are. The important thing is, there's a child that needs rearing. Doesn't matter how good a father you are. The important thing is, there's a son that needs training. And if we forget what we are, and forget becoming this, and forget becoming that, and lose ourselves in the object, we'd understand something about the Christian life. The Apostle Paul said, my prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. My heart's desire is that Israel might be saved. I'll go to hell myself if my people will be saved. I'll stand before the great white throne judgment as a lost sinner and be cast into hell if my people can walk the golden streets and walk through gates of pearl and have their soul redeemed with the blood of Calvary. Ladies and gentlemen, we have too many idealists in these days who want to be this and want to be that. It doesn't matter. There's a job to get done. And we must lose ourselves in the doing of the job and let him who knows all reward us according to our just deserts when rewarding time comes. I don't know who the greatest Christian in this room is, but I'll guarantee you he or she doesn't know it. I don't know who the greatest preacher in the world is, but I'll guarantee you he hasn't found out about it yet. I don't know who the greatest parent in this room is or in the world is, but I know whoever it is does not know about it. I don't know who the greatest wife is in the world or the greatest husband, but I'll guarantee you, whoever it is doesn't know about it. I don't know who the best friend in the world is, but I guarantee you, whoever it is doesn't know about it. Because you cannot be the best friend in the world until you forget you exist and think about your friend. You cannot be the best preacher in the world if you forget yourself and think about your people. You cannot be the best mom in the world until you forget yourself and think about your children. Oh, listen, I sit in my study, and I literally, as people walk out of my study, I fall on my face, and I weep, and I weep, and I say, oh, God, why can't somebody get the idea? Why can't somebody understand? Crucify yourself. Die to yourself. Forget that you live. Doesn't matter who hurt your feelings. Doesn't matter who doesn't like you. All that matters is there's a hungry world that must be fed, and a sick world that must be healed, and a lost world that must be won. And the apostle said, I do not know anything about whether I should, what I am. But he said, I have a prayer to God. One great consuming prayer to God. One great consuming heart's desire. I'm lost in one thing. My people are lost and they must be saved. Doesn't matter who wins them. Doesn't matter how good a soul winner I am. But my prayer to God and heart's desire officially is, that you might be saved. You know, I make no pretense about this. I'm not a great preacher, and I don't think it matters very much whether I am a great preacher or not. I don't have any great sermons, and I make no pretense. I'm not a great sermon builder, and I'm certainly not a great orator. But I do know this. I know some great truths, and I know that these truths that are preached from this pulpit like this one this morning, I know they can change your life. I know that. And I do so want you to know what they are. And I hunger for you to see it. Listen, there are people in this room I've counseled with in my office. I'm talking about dozens of people. They've been in my office again and again and again. and I've broken down their problems like a mathematic problem, and I've listed the needs. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And yet the honest truth is, every problem can be solved if you'll die to yourself and forget about yourself and forget your own needs and live your life. The apostle, he had no wife. The apostle had no children. The apostle had no home. The apostle had no comfort. The apostle had no change of raiment. The apostle had no luxury. The apostle had no car. The apostle had no air-conditioned room. But he said, I don't know about that. My prayer to God and harsh desire is that my people might be saved. And I'll tell you, if you had grasped that truth someday, you would, it'll change your life. We wouldn't have to go through all of the nitty-gritty of 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, do this and this and this and this. Die to self. Die. Die to self. I sit in my study. I look across to the people talking with me. And I say, please get it. Please get it. And they leave. And oftentimes, I know I have offended them. Why? Because I'm willing to risk my reputation with them in an effort to help them. I sometimes know people leave my office and think that I've been ungracious, unkind. But oh, listen, I know some answers. I know some answers. And I want to give it to you. I don't care if I'm a good preacher. Now, hate me if you want to, but believe what I teach. Get mad, okay, get mad. I'd rather you get mad at me, walk out those doors and never walk back in and get what I teach and practice what I preach than love me in your misery, unhappiness. And I'll be honest with you, I'm willing to sacrifice your love. I'm willing to sacrifice your admiration if by God's grace He'll let me in some way get over to you the great truths. Doesn't matter whether I'm a great preacher or not. I do not know how good a youth worker I am. Never thought to think about it. But I know this. I know no young people walk on the face of this earth who are any more loved than the young people here at First Baptist Church Hammond. I know that. I do not know how good a counselor I am. I do not know. Never think about it. Doesn't matter how good a counselor I am. But I know one thing. I know before I start my counseling every day or night when I counsel a series of people, I know I kneel beside my door just before I open it. And I say, dear God, I have tonight 17 people going to walk through this door. 17 people who have lives and hopes and dreams and burdens and plans and futures. Oh, God! Many of these people are going to sink or swim on the basis of what I say in the next 3 or 4 hours. Oh, Spirit of God, lead me to tell them what I ought to say. And I know, I do not know if I'm a good counselor or not, but I know how many times I fall on my face and weep after you're gone because I feel like I've not gotten the truth through to you, or you've blocked it because of self and you've not listened to what I've had to say. I do not know how good a teacher I am, but I know I long for my people to know the truths of the Word of God and the life of God. I do not know how good a comforter I am, but I do know I want you to know Him who is the great comforter, and to comfort you and feel your burden and feel your pain. I do not know how good a patriot I am. I never measure how good a patriot I am. But I know this. I know there's not a day ever passes but when I start with Seattle, Washington, and end with Portland, Maine, and pray up and down this country for every major city in this country. Why? I love my nation. I love the Star-Spangled Banner. I love Old Glory. I love my country. I love its heritage. I love In God We Trust. I love One Nation Under God. I don't know how good a patriot I am. I just know I love my country. I don't know how good a soul winner I am. I know I just don't want you to go to hell when you die. I don't know how good a counselor I am. I just know I long to help you. I don't know how good a youth worker I am. I just know I want you to be happy in your life. That's all I know. And if somehow God's people could forget what we are and think of the needs of others and lose ourselves and say my prayer to God and harsh desire for my high school is that the kids might turn out right. My prayer to God and harsh desire for my grade school is that my kids will turn out right. My prayer to God and heart's desire for my bus kids is that turn out right. My prayer to God and my heart's desire for my college students is that they'll lead real rich and rewarding lives in the service of God. My prayer to God and heart's desire for my children is that they will serve God and be happy and live for Christ and be fruitful. Forget what I am. It doesn't matter. Over here, to my immediate left, sits the greatest comforter of the sick in the world today, John Colston. Nobody like him. Nobody gives his life like John Colston does. To walking in hospital rooms and turning on the light of the Savior and manifesting what the Savior would be and how he would talk if he walked in the hospital room. Nobody. Nobody. And yet John Colston never did set out to say, I want to be the best comforter in the world. Never did. He just saw a man who was sad and said, he needs to be cheered. He just saw a woman about to have surgery and said, she needs strength and courage. Never thought, what am I? Doesn't matter what John Colston is. It matters there are people out there that need comforting. That's all that matters. Yonder, signing for the deaf today, is a little old country gal. Still has some hayseed in her hair. Named Maxine Jeffries. Maxine Jeffries, little old country Kansas gal. Just about as uncouth as they could come when she came to the sword of the Lord 65 years ago to work. But all of a sudden one day she got a burden for the deaf. Maxine Jeffries never came to me and said, preacher, I'd like to be the greatest deaf worker in the whole world. She never said that. Doesn't matter to Maxine. But she came to me with tear-stained cheeks and she said, pastor, I'd like to reach all the deaf folks I could in this area. You know, I'll be honest with you. I hurt. I want to get through to you. I want to grab you and shake you and say, folks, listen to me. Listen to me. If you could ever get what I'm teaching and preaching this morning to you, 99% of all the problems in your life would be solved. Doesn't matter what you are. Doesn't matter about you. All that matters is God has given you a job to do. You've got to do it. It's your prayer to God. Heart's desire. I must do it. Doesn't matter where I am. It matters that there's a job to do and it must be done. I'm going to forget myself in doing it. May I say this? This is where the deeper life stuff begins. I am so sick of self-improvement books I want to throw up. I wish somebody would write some others' improvement books. I'll tell you in one sentence how you can self-improve all you want to. You just spend your life, forget you live, and you spend your life getting others to improve, and I'll guarantee you, you'll improve. We got a bunch of deeper life people all over this country getting together to manicure themselves. I must go deeper. I must be better. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You got a Bible that gives you a commission and a command. Lose yourself in it. And that's where this deeper life stuff is. They get in these little Bible study groups in somebody's living room. And work on each other. And then they write these books. How to improve your disposition. I can tell you how to improve it. You just fall in love with the human race. Others' improvement. And you say, preacher, how? Two or three observations. One is don't serve in response. Don't serve in response. Don't say, if he does, I will. And you say, I will. People come to my office fussing. But it's her fault. But it's his fault. Don't serve in response. Brother O'Clair and Brother Sisson, if they had fallen out. Brother O'Clair said, well, if he will, I will. No, if he won't, you will. You serve him. Forget what he does to you. Number two, don't expect a response. Well, I won't do it anymore because I wasn't appreciated. I'm going to say this. I want you to hear me. God knows I appreciate every note that says I love you. And God knows I appreciate every warm handshake that says, preacher, I'm glad you're mine. God knows I appreciate it. But God knows this too. God knows I'd rather help you and get a bloody nose than fail and get your praise. I long for you to have all that God has for you in life. I hunger for you to know what it is to walk in the riches of His grace. I long for you to know it. Paul had no loving wife to meet him at the door at night. He had no children to bring him his house shoes. He had no house shoes for the children to bring. His next stop, his provisions were at the next jail. He had no deacons to stand beside him. He had no church membership to give him Reese peanut butter cups and write little notes and stick pennies on the door. He didn't have that. But he said he was content. You know why he was content? Because his prayer to God was that somebody else might be saved. His prayer to God was that Israel might be saved. His heart's desire, his life was given. I've got a goal. I've got a task. I'm not going to think about myself. I won't love you if you love me. I'll love you anyhow. I won't love you until you quit loving me. I'll love you anyhow. Don't serve in response and don't expect the response. Then, as I've said before, die to yourself. I'm going to tell something this morning I've never told in my life. I've never told it personally or publicly. My family's never heard it. You've never heard it. Nor have I written it or spoken it out loud. But it's the truth, I hate to admit. Out in the Memory Lane Cemetery, there's a mausoleum. And when you go inside that mausoleum, the first crypt there, one of the first ones on the left, has the name Willis Athey Hiles on it. Whatever was left of my daddy's body after over 30 years was removed from the grave in Texas, in Italy, Texas, and placed in the crypt out here. My daddy died an unsaved man, a drunkard's death. Here's what I'm going to say. Listen. When God called me to pastor, I pastored 150 miles from my hometown where my daddy was a bartender. My daddy was a strong man. I've seen my Uncle Roy take a baseball bat, and I've seen my daddy brace himself like that. And I've seen Uncle Roy, average-sized man, I've seen him take that baseball bat and swing it as hard as he could at my daddy's stomach and couldn't knock my dad out of his tracks. I've seen that, folks. If I ever told the truth in my life, my mother and my sister will vouch for it. My daddy, when he was young, he didn't like the black race. One day he was carrying some pipe and he worked at the Tennessee Dairies Company. And a black man was carrying the pipe with him. And my daddy accidentally dropped that pipe. And the black man cursed my dad. And my daddy said, ain't no blank blank gonna curse me. Picked up that pipe and hit that black man in the head with it. And that black man lay between life and death for weeks. And my daddy hung on the border of being a murderer and of going to the penitentiary for weeks. And finally the black man was marvelously healed and spared. Saved my daddy from being a murderer. When I became a preacher, my daddy had such a hot temper when he was drunk. I've seen him knock teeth out of my mother. But I lived in horror that my daddy would do something that bring reproach on my ministry. I lived in horror that I'd see his name in the paper. Father of the pastor of Range Hall Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas, does something awful. Commit some crime. And I lived in horror that my daddy would do something that would destroy my ministry. I wish I had it live over again. That shouldn't have been my burden. My burden should have been, I've got an unsaved daddy. He's got to die. He's got to face God. And yet I, as a young preacher, was so much more concerned about my ministry than I was the soul of my daddy. With all of my heart, I believe that if I'd have been as concerned about my daddy's soul as I was my own ministry, not being scandalized, I believe my daddy would be in heaven today. Folks, I've been around a long time. Twenty-five years ago when I came here, I was a young man. And now I'm approaching my 58th birthday. I've learned a few things. And if I've learned anything in this world, this is it. It doesn't matter what I am. All that matters is there's a job to be done. There are people to be helped. There are folks in need. Sometimes I throw my hands up in despair and I say, dear God, looks like in 25 years I could have convinced those people of that. Looks like in 25 years of preaching and teaching, it looks like I could convince you to die. Die. Dead people don't fight back. Dead people don't talk back. Dead people don't seek revenge. Forget whether you're a good soul winner or not. Just think, there's a lost world. Go after them. Forget whether you're the fireman of the year or not. Just save everybody you can in the burning house. Forget whether you're a good mechanic or not. Just realize while you're repairing that car that somebody's life depends on how you do. Forget whether you're a good preacher or not, or a good pastor or not. And just think there's some people out there that need you. Forget whether you're a good counselor or not, or and just remember, lives will be dependent upon what you say. My prayer to God and my heart's desire is that I be a good preacher. It's not what he said. That I be a great missionary. It's not what he said. This nation is dying today because our president seemed to be more concerned about getting elected and saving a nation. And it just seems accepted that that's okay these days. Our nation has been dying for years because the men in the White House are more concerned about what they're called by historians than saving a nation. In God's dear, sweet, precious name, I come to you again with what I've come to you again and again through the years with. Die. Lose yourself not in being something, but in doing that thing and helping that object. And one day, when it's all over, and the last sermon's been preached, the last song has been sung, the last class has been taught, the last soul has been saved, we'll have plenty of time then to have it defined just exactly what we were on earth. But now, we're too busy. There's a race to run. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he'll tell us when the race is over how well our Heavenly Father.